Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Menachos Daf Lamed Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will commence from the bottom of Daf Lamed Dalid Amud Bey, second line from the bottom. Immediately upon noticing the Gemara, you also notice some geometric forms, a triangle, and on the last line, a diamond. The purpose of these geometric forms is explained in our Gemara Markings Shas Ozer, pre-marked Gemara edition that you see on your screen. On the outside margin, we provide topic headings called Nosei and structural notes called Mivne, structural notes featuring the geometric forms as they appear. In this case, the Nosei, the topic heading that accompanies this Gemara, is Hichlif Seder HaParshios Shel HaTfilin. In our previous shiur, we discussed the order in which the Parshios are placed into the Tfilin Sharosh. There are four sections of Torah that are placed, that are written on pieces of parchment and placed in the Tfilin Sharosh. And in order they are, according to Rashi, Kadesh, Vahoyo Ki Aviyacho, Shema, and Vahoyo Im Shamoa. What happens if you put them in an incorrect order? That will be the topic of the Gemara. The triangles represent, under our Mivneh heading, you can see, Memros Shel Rav Hananel Omer Rav. We will see a couple of comments of Rav Hananel Omer Rav in today's Gemara. And his name is featured in triangles. In addition, you see the term, or the shape of a diamond around Abaye. And on the next Omid, you'll see Rava also. They represent, and we've written in our side comment, Shnei Deois B'Divrei Rav Sheposal B'Hachlofas Seder Parshios. Two opinions within Rav. Rav, we will see shortly, rules that tefillin whose Parshios are inserted in an incorrect order are unfit. There are two approaches to his ruling, Abaye and Rava. Now the Gemara. Omar Rav Hanani Omar Rav, Hichlif Parshioseha Psulos. Hichlif is to change the order of the Parshios, those Torah sections that are inserted into the Tfilin Sharosh. If you put in those different parchments, those four different parchments in an incorrect order, the Tfilin are unfit. Omar Abaye, Lo Amoron Elo, Gavyaiso Le Baraiso, Ubaraiso Le Gavyaiso. This ruling of puzzle only applies if you switched those parshios that are supposed to be inner parshios. Gavyaiso means inside. We can say sandwiched between. If there are four parshios, two are on the outside, so to speak. In other words, when you're looking at the Tfilin Sharosh, you know there are two shins on the Tfilin Sharosh, on the outside of the Tfilin Sharosh, the parshios that are inserted into the compartments that are attached to those shins are the outside compartments. Which parshios are, generally speaking, which parshios are supposed to be in those two outside compartments? So on one extreme you have parshios Kadesh, and on the other extreme you have parshios Vehoyo Im Shamoa. And as you are looking at a person wearing tefillin, so on your right side will be Kadesh, and on your left side will be Vehoyo Im Shamoa. And by the way, we've included a little diagram at the top inside corner of this Omid. You can see what we've noted, Seder Shel Rashi. This is the order of Parshas of Rashi, from right to left, according to the right side of the reader, namely, you who are facing someone who is wearing tefillin. So we've also noted that the parshas of Kadesh are Baraisa, outside parshia, and so is Vehoyo Im Shamoa. And the inside parshas we've noted are V'hoyo Kiviyacho and Shema, those being sandwiched between the outside parshas. So Abaye says the problem arises when you take inside parshas and place them on the outside, and likewise outside parshas and place them on the inside. Avol, the Gemara continues at the top, Avol Gavaiso the Gavaiso. If you switched around, for example, V'hoyo Kiviyacho with Shema, those are both gavaiso, inside parshios. Or ubaraiso le baraiso, or you switched the outside parshios. In other words, you took kadesh, which is supposed to be on your right side, and you put it on the left side where v'hoyim shemua is, and v'hoyim shemua you placed where kadesh is supposed to be. If that's all you did, if that's what you switched, less lon ba, then we are not worried about that. We are not concerned. It's not a problem. Omar Le Rava. Rava responds with a long comment. We've indicated to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text a little diamond, calling this number 2 because it's the second opinion. We had referred to Abaye at the bottom of Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, also in the right hand, to the right hand of the Gemara text with a little 1. However, Rava's comment lasts several lines, so we want to indicate the length of it with a length marker. As you can see, there's a dashed vertical line following the number 2. All of this is Rava's comment. So Rava says, "My shno gavyaiso le baraiso baraiso le gavaiso." What is different about the case of inside-outside switch, which you render, which you claim Rav will say is unfit? Delo dehach deboy lemechsa aviro. Let's read that again. "My shno gavyaiso le baraiso ubraiso le gavaiso delo." The low is read together, since we have a connector marking, is read together with the word legavaisa. What's different about that case that you say it's no, that it's unfit? Dehach deboy lemechse avira lo kochazio. That which is supposed to see the outside, meaning be an outside parsha. If you place it, if you say, take, let us, for example, as example, Parshas Kadesh, and you put it where V'hoyo Kiviyacho is supposed to be. So what have you done? You've taken that which is supposed to see the outside, so to speak. The Mechsi Avira means to be on the outside, and now it's not on the outside. It's not seeing the outside. V'ho, the Gemara goes on, V'ho delo ko boi lemechsi avira ko chazio. And that which is not supposed to be on the outside, namely V'hoyo Kiviyacho, you did place it on the outside. Well, and you say that that's a problem. By the same token, baraiso le baraiso, v'gavaiso le gavaiso nami. So too, when you make a switch of the kadesh with v'hoyim shamoa, hach tebayo lemechsi aviro diamin, kochazio aviro desmoil. That which is supposed to be on the outside, on the right side, is now on the outside of the left side. And that which is supposed to be on the outside of the left side is now on the outside of the right side. So there is also a switch of which side it's supposed to be on. Just like inside, outside, you agree, is a significant switch. Left side, right side is also a significant switch. Elo, lo, shno. Rather, and therefore Rava says it doesn't make a difference, and they are all considered unfit. The Omar Rav Chananel, Omar Rav. We have some new markings that are coming up, and we have on the outside margin a Noseya topic heading. Prote Halochus Bibote Tfilin, Hat Tfilin. We will have a number of details of Halochus concerning the boxes that constitute the what we call the tefillin, which contain the parchments of writing. The markings that are involved in this sugi include a double underline and a volcano shape. These are explained in the outside margin under the mivneh. The double underline features the expression halocha l'moshe mi-sinai. We've also noted aleph through vav. You'll notice in the space to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, a little letter that's circled with a double underline underneath it. This is in order to keep track of all of the different aspects of the tefillin that fall under the heading of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. And on this Omid, you will see five of them. And on Omid Beis, Lamed Hey Omid Beis, you'll see a sixth point that's under the heading of Halacha L'Moshe Misinai with regard to the tefillin. And that you'll find in the middle of Omid Beis with regard to the Kesher Shel Tefillin. In addition to that, we've also squiggle underlined in the Gemara itself the particular Halacha that is Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. So that if you just survey the page first, without offering any explanation right now, you see the first, the Aleph is Titura the Tefillin. You see Beis is Ma'abarta the Tefillin. The third is Shin Shel Tefillin. The fourth is Ritzuos Shcharois. The fifth is Tefillin Merubois. And the sixth is Kesher Shel Tefillin. As we now turn to the beginning of this series of halachas, the Aleph is V'omar Rav Chanan Omar Rav. This is in a triangle because this is a second comment, a second memra of his. Titura de Tefillin Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The expression Titura Shel Tefillin, you'll see, is translated sometimes as Gesher, literally a bridge. However, a little more explanation is needed for this. The tefillin, if one has seen it, then it makes it much easier to explain this. The tefillin, as everyone knows, are boxes that contain parchments. The bottom of the box, actually, even though it looks like a solid piece to the untrained eye, it actually is a flap that opens up, and on three sides of the tefillin, this flap opens and remains attached on the fourth side. This flap that covers the bottom of the tefillin, that when opened, it exposes the interior of the tefillin, that is called the titura. So the requirement of having a bottom flap to the tefillin to cover the, that covers the interior, covers the opening, that necessity is called, is a necessity that's halacha l'moshe misinai. It's from an oral tradition that goes back to the time of Moshe Rabbeinu at Mount Sinai. Omar Abaye. Now Abaye's name appears in a unique marking in a volcano form, and that's because there will be a series of Abaye comments in this sukya, and we call them Memros Shel Abaye. So the Omar Abaye, he adds to the list. He says, Ma'abarta de tefillin, halacha l'moshe misinai. The Ma'abarta is the section of the tefillin through which the ritsua, the straps, go. The straps are we'll call threaded through this part of the tefillin, the Ma'abarta, and they are not fastened in place. You can, the straps can be moved back and forth, can be adjusted, can be moved back and forth in that particular spot, and hence it's called Ma'abarta, which Rashi explains is Shelo Tehor Tzu Kavua. It rather can be moved back and forth, and the Lashon of Ma'abarta, Rashi says, Shema'avira U'moshcho L'chol Tzad Shiyirtza. You can, it passes through and it can be moved to either side. So that in looking at the tefillin, it's the part of the tefillin through which the straps, the ritsuos, pass through. That's the Ma'abarta. The Omar Abaye, a third halacha l'moshe misinai, and another comment of Abaye, Shin Shel Tefillin halacha l'moshe misinai. On the tefillin shel Roish, everyone might be familiar with this, you'll see a letter shin. In fact, there are two shins. One is, tradition has it, a three-headed shin, and the other one is a four-headed shin. V'tzorech shiagia charitz lemokim hatefer. On the tefillin shel roish, there are four compartments, and there is a charitz would be a type of depression it appears to be a depressed line. Just as you look at the tefillin, this notched line or depressed line that is on the tefillin shorosh is supposed to run from the run through the whole height of the tefillin. That in Mokama Tefer is the, we'll call it the base of the tefillin, because in the base of the tefillin, the strings that sew the tefillin shut are found. So that if we, you'll notice on the, we have a little diagram at the very bottom of the page of a tefillin shorosh, albeit it doesn't have ritzuas, but you could see the shin that's to the side of the tefillin shorosh, and those lines, those vertical lines that, let's say, form the four compartments, you can see how they run the entire length of the height of the box of the tefillin shorosh down to the base. That's what this means, that they must reach the Mokom HaTefer. Rav Dimi Minahardo is a second opinion with regard to the to this Haritz form. The shiur of the Haritz, according to him, is, reading his name again, Rav Dimi Minahardo Omar Kivan de Minkar, as long as the Haritz is recognizable, as long as you can see there's this type of depression, lo tzorech, you don't need any more. In other words, there's no requirement of it reaching the base of the tefillin. The Omar Abaye, hi kilfa the tefillin. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a little topic heading for this piece of Gemara, the Nosei, machloikis im yesh tzorech livdoik es haklaf mipnei nekev. There is a machlokes, is there a necessity to do a special checking of the parchment on which you write the tefillin to check it out to make sure there are no holes in the parchment? The of course, a hole in the parchment will interfere with the writing of the letters, and if it's a significant hole, the letter would then be incomplete if you attempt to draw a letter over such a hole. So Abaye says, "Hi kilfa." That's a reference to klaf, the klaf on which the, that's the parchment on which the tefillin are written. "Hi kilfa the tefillin tzorech lemivdeke." They have to be checked out. "De dilma is ba reusa." There might be a deficiency or a hole, and the hole will ruin the writing. "Uboino ksiva toma veleka." One requires the letters to be complete, and if the pen, the quill that's used for writing the tefillin encounters a hole, so you'll have a letter that eventually will have a hole in it, and that's called an incomplete ksiva. Rav Dimi Minahardo Omar Lo Tzorech. He says that you don't have to do a special checking beforehand. Kumusa Bodik Law. Kumus is the pen or the quill will do the checking. Now, that can be understood as follows, that as one writes, if the quill passes over the hole with ease, so then there's the hole, even if there is a hole, it's an inconsequential type hole. This you can see in the Tosfos at the lower part of the page. Kumusa bodik le, Rash Tosfos says, v'chein halacha, and thusly is the halacha according to Tosfos, like Rav Dimi, that you don't have to do a special checking for very fine holes. V'hochi nami amrinan bor v'rotev, and thusly it's said in that parak, hor v'rotev in Maseches Chulin, kol nekev shadiyoi over olav, any hole that the ink passes over, eino nekev. It's not a problem, it's not considered a hole. So that if you can write the tefillin with ease and the holes don't interfere, that kind of hole doesn't constitute a problem. I would assume then that if the pen doesn't go over, it gets stuck in the hole, so that itself is the checking, and you don't need to have a special checking beforehand. Omar Rav Yitzchok. We now see another halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai, the fourth in our counting. Ritzuos shcheros, the straps of the tefillin and their need to be black, halacha l'Moshe Mi-Sinai. That's part of an oral tradition. So the color of the ritzuos is halacha l'moshe. It's not a halacha, meaning the color black. Mesvei, Gemara brings a Tanaic source which contains with it some information that poses a question. This is a long source. You can see the length of the framed section. Right after the framed section, the Gemara says katoni mia. It however says in this source bein yerukos, bein shchoros, ubein levonos, a reference to the different colors of the straps of the ritzuos. So in addition to shcharos, you also have yerukos and levonos, which are two other colors. And that seems to be an option for the straps, for the ritzuos. And that is the point that represents a question on Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak said that they have to be shcharos, and in this source you see that phrase, bein yerukos, bein shcharos, bein levonos, indicating something other than that which Rabbi Yitzchak says. The Gemara will then answer, it depends which side of the strap you're talking about. If you're talking about the strap, the part of the strap that's supposed to face outside, that has to be black, and that's what Rav Yitzchak was talking about. If you're talking about the flip side, the side of the strap that remains closest to the body of the one wearing the tefillin, then the yorok and lovan are options as well. So turning now to the entire question, Meisvei. Tefillin ein koishrin oison elo b'minon. Tefillin are not to be tied together, so to speak, or worn. But the word koishrin not only refers to the making of knots, but it also has to do with wearing it. As the pasuk says, "Ukshartom le'os al yodecha." They are to be bound to you. So the tefillin are bound to you with only if b'minon. B'minon means with their own material, meaning the straps must be made of the same material as the boxes and the parchments are as well. Namely, just like the boxes and parchments are made of leather, so too the straps. Bein yerukos, bein shchoros, bein levonos. But no, as far as the colors are concerned, the colors of the straps, it seems to be open. In other words, it could be yoro, it could be shochor, it could be lovon. And adumos lo yas, one should not make red straps for one of two reasons. Mipnei genai v'dover acher. Genai is, if you have a red strap, people who see it may think that it's the result of some type of a wound that a person scratched and the wound opened up and bled and hence caused the strap to become red. Dover Acher has to do with matters of a person and his conducting intimacy with his wife during the time of her impurity, during her nida time, and the straps became red as a result of the blood of the woman's cycle. Therefore, avoid red-colored straps because people may misconstrue the redness and ascribe it to one of the two possibilities we just mentioned. Omar Rebbe Yehuda. We have a little geometric form here, in this source a house form. This is explained on the outside margin. Under the Mivneh, you will see Shnei Maisim Shekoshru Tfilin Beritzuos She'enon Shel'or. Two Maisim will be featured in this Tanaic source of people who wore their tefillin using straps that were not leather. There will be another marking, a double underline with dots in it, which features the materials that they used, Lishonas Sheltcheles or Argomon. These are straps of a fabric. One was called Tcheles. In other Gemaras, Tcheles is often associated with wool that's dyed blue. And argomon is another type of fabric that's dyed another color. So, in this source, Amar Rav Yehuda, Maisa b'talmido shel Rabbi Akiva, there was an incident involving a student of Rabbi Akiva, shel kosher tfilov b'lashonos shel tcheles. Rashi calls this einon minoy. These were not leather. The lo Omar loy dover, and Rabbi Akiva didn't comment. Could it be that the tzaddik, Rabbi Kiva, saw his student and didn't protest? It could very well be that Rabbi Yehuda is quoting this as a challenge to the Tanakhama. The Tanakhama said, "Ein koshen oisan el abaminon." The ritzuos are made only of leather. This maisa would indicate that the straps can be made of fabric as well. Otherwise, Rabbi Kiva would not have remained silent. Omar lo, so it was said, someone responded to Rabbi Yehuda and said, "Hein lo ro oisoi." In fact, Rabbi Akiva did not see him. V'imro oiso lo hoya manicho. And had he seen him, he wouldn't have let him be. He would have certainly protested. Maisa, another incident. Behurkenes benoisha Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkenes shekushet filav b'lashonus shel argomon. He used as his straps this fabric, lashonos shel argomon, which is not mino, which is not leather. V'lo omar loidovar, and the father Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkenes, the great Tana Rabbi Lezer ben Hurkenes, did not comment. Could it be that this righteous sage saw something wrong and did not protest? So, in fact, his silence may have been, should be interpreted as approval for non-leather straps. Notice with our markings, we've dashed underlined the expression just recently, ra'a b'no. This is to be contrasted with a similar expression dashed underlined a few lines up, where it was ra'a talmido. Just for the sake of contrast, one is a case of a teacher seeing his student, and the second story involves a father seeing his son. So, the silence of the father would be approval. As we saw before, Omru Lo, then they responded to Rebbe Yehuda, who was sharing this testimony, and said, "Hein lo ra'a oso." In fact, he did not see him. Vim ra'a oso lo yamanicho. Had the father seen his son using fabric straps, he would not have let him alone. He wouldn't have let him be. Kotoni mio. It, however, says in this source, as far as the color of the straps is concerned, bein yerukos, bein shcharos, ubein levanos. So we see, unlike Rabbi Yitzchak, who said only black, the Gemara answers, lo kashya, kan mibifnim, kan mibachutz. If you're talking about the inside of the strap that the side of the strap that lies on one's body, that faces one's body, that is not restricted to shochor. Kan bibachutz, that which is facing outside, that which the public sees, that must be black. So that the idea of, let's say, flexibility, or the teaching of this source, which allowed for a range of colors, the source then is talking about the inside of the strap, that which the public does not see. The Gemara asks, "E mibifnim." If the subject of this source is mibifnim, then what is meant by genai v'dovo acher ikah? Notice there is a little star to the immediate right hand side of this line. This corresponds to the star above from where this is being quoted. If the source that we just said is referring to bifnim, the inside of the strap, then why is there any concern about, why is there any objection to red? And we said red was objected to because of ginai or dover achir. If it's the tzad hapnimi, people don't see it. So who cares what color it is? The Gemara answers, zimnin demishapchin lei. Sometimes, as a person is in movement, the strap flips around. So even though it's supposed to be on the inside, since it flips around because of a person's natural movements, the red side, or the inside, which if it's red will be exposed and will cause a feeling or a sense of disparagement because of either the two considerations of Gnai or Dover Acher that we described before. As we go on in the Gemara, we have a new topic heading, the Nosei, Tefillin Bo'inon Lios Merubos. The Tefillin have to be square. As far as what aspect of the Tefillin needs to be square, we are not going to get into those details. There are a few commentaries on that. You can see the Tosfos at the bottom. He deals with this. Tefillin Rubos Yesh She'ein Rabban Ella B'Mokim Moishavon. Some ascribe the squareness only to the base of the tefillin. V'Shematzor Habatim Rubon Shel Roish Shabbos and Fukos. There's a possibility that the tefillin Shel Roish, which were made of four separate compartments, that when they are finally attached to one another, they must be square. V'chein Bayis Shel Yad. But on the other hand, he says Uksas Hoyanira Deloboy Mrubos Elo B'Tofron Ublachsonon Kemoshim Beforesh Rav Papa. So the exactly what part of the tefillin needs to be square, you can see from this Tosfos there is some room for discussion. So for our purposes, we're going to limit our explanation simply to the idea of squareness is needed at some point in the tefillin. So Tana, the source, says tefillin merubos halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, in accordance with our markings, we've double underlined halacha Moshe Mitzrayim, being that this is the fifth example of an aspect of tefillin that's based on an oral tradition. So in this case, we're talking about the element of squareness. Omar Rav Papa b'tifron u'be'alachsoinam. Tifron, Rashi explains, is that when you sew the tefillin shut, you should be careful not to put too much tension on the thread that closes the tefillin, because that could corrupt its squareness. After all, we're talking about leather, which is a material that if you put too much pressure on it, you can deform it, and it'll lose its squareness. Ubalachsona means that you should be able to form a diagonal, two diagonals that will have equal length, so that when taking your tefillin, and if you say the base of the tefillin must be square, so that means that you should be able to measure two diagonals that will be perpendicular to one another, and those two diagonals will have equal length. That's what is characteristic of a square. The Gemara goes on, it says Leimo Misayale. Can we say that the Mishnah serves as a support to this teaching? Ho'oset filoso agulo sakono v'ein bo mitzvah. One who makes round tefillin, it could pose a danger, which we'll explain a little bit later. The ein bo mitzvah means you would not be fulfilling the mitzvah of squareness, which is halacha l'moshe Mitzrayim. So that this source would seem to support the teaching that we just had of the tefillin needing to be square. Omar Rav Papa says this Tanaic source, this Mishnah that we just quoted in the framed part of our Gemara, does not support our teaching of squareness. Masnisin, the Mishnah which speaks about filoso agula, roundness, it's not simple roundness, but it's davido ki amguza, that it's made like a nut. That means spherical. Tefillin that are spherical is what the Mishnah is opposing to. But according to the Mishnah, if you had something that was not spherical, but it was rather a disc-shaped tefillin, meaning flat and round disc, as opposed to something spherical, that would be, as far as the Mishnah is concerned, possibly okay. As far as establishing that the tefillin need to be square, that you cannot see from the Mishnah, that you'll have to rely on the above teaching of the Braisa and that which Rav Papa explained. As far as the term sakon is concerned, now we can explain this with greater accuracy. If the tefillin are not flat, in other words, if the base of the tefillin are not flat, but rather spherical, and one were wearing something like that and banged his head, let us say, into some type of low entranceway, the fact that it's spherical and the impact could cause the fracturing of one's skull. That would be preempted or avoided if the tefillin are the way they're supposed to be, namely flat. So just to review this last point, the need for tefillin to be square is based on a brisa that we cannot say finds a support in the Mishnah. The Mishnah, which speaks about round tefillin, are not talking about disc-shaped tefillin. Those are talking about spherical tefillin. But if they would be round in a disc form, that might be okay as far as the Mishnah is concerned. Therefore, you need to have this other comment of the brisa that the tefillin merubos are halacha l'moshe mi-Sinai. Omar Rav Huna, tefillin kolzman shepnei tavlo kayemes ksheros. The topic of this piece of Gemara is indicated on the side under the nosei kera bebotim deshel rosh. We're going to be talking about a tear in the tefillin shel rosh. When we speak, by the way, about tefillin shel rosh, we are not speaking necessarily to the exclusion of tefillin shel yad. Simply, the Gemara presents numerous details that are relevant to the tefillin shel rosh. So, Rav Huna says that the tefillin kolzman shepnei tavlo kayemes. That means when the skin, when the leather of the boxes is kayemes, has no holes in it, it is kosher. It's acceptable. Rav Chisda Omar, Nifsiku shtayim ksheros shalosh psulos. If a rip develops in two of the compartments, the tefillin remain kosher. However, if a rip develops in three of the compartments, the tefillin we're talking here, when we speak about compartments, we're talking about the tefillin shalosh, three would render them unkosher. Omar Rava, Hod Amris Shtayim Ksheros, that which we said a rip in two compartments does not render the tefillin unfit. Lo Amoran Elo Ze Shelo Keneged Ze. That's provided the rips in the two compartments are not Ze Keneged Ze. Avol Ze Keneged Ze Psulos. If they are Ze Keneged Ze, it will be unacceptable. Before going further, we have to explain these expressions, and we'll try to do this with the assistance of some artwork that's been included on the inside margin of the marked Gemaras that appear on your screen. The normal looking or complete tefillin shel rosh is featured as the lower of the two pictures there. However, in the making of the tefillin shel rosh, the leather is flexible before it hardens, and you can see that the compartments would be, as we say, flexible. When you're molding it, they'll look like the first diagram, and we've numbered the compartments 1, 2, 3, and 4. And so this is really for the sake of illustration only. Where are the rips when we speak about the compartments? Rashi himself has two approaches to explaining these phrases of Zeh Keneged Zeh and Zeh Shelo Keneged Zeh. So in Rashi's first explanation of Zeh Shelo Keneged Zeh, which we say would be acceptable, that is provided that the rips are not in two consecutive compartments. So in the diagram you can see arrows pointing to 1 and 3. If a rip would be in compartment 1, where the arrow is pointing, and in compartment 3 where the arrow is pointing, that would be okay. And the reason for that is because you have a shalem, you have number 2, which is without any rip whatsoever between them. That's what saves the day. However, we don't have illustrations for the flip case. We didn't want to crowd the page with too much artwork, but if If you have, according to Rashi's first pshat, if the rip appeared in one, as you can see on the diagram, and in compartment number two, even if it's where the very close to where the arrow is currently pointing, if just twist the arrow pointing to compartment two, that would cause the tefillin to be unfit. That would be called zeh keneged zeh, according to the first pshat in Rashi. So as not to confuse ourselves with too many explanations, let us simply say that if you look into the Rashi, you will see a second approach to the problem of location of rips. So for our purposes right now, zeh shelo keneged zeh would be where you have a rip in compartment 1 and 3, where 2 is complete, is shalem between them, and if a rip appeared in compartments 1 and 2, that would be a problem. That would be called zeh keneged zeh. The Gemara goes on, v'zeh keneged zeh nami lo amoron elo bechaditza. The problem of rips in compartments, in consecutive compartments, this would be a problem only if you're dealing with new leather. Avol ba'atikto les lonvo. The idea being, if you have rips in something that's new, that shows that the skin was problematic from the outset. However, if a rip developed simply in the course of time, then when the tefillin were made initially, they were good and complete and high quality at the outset. And the fact that in the course of time it developed a rip, that would not bother us. Omale Abaye the Rav Yosef, Hechi Damyon Chatzo, the Hechi Damyon Aktikto. How can you evaluate whether you're dealing with new or you're dealing with old? Omale, call Hecho de Misli Be Peshalcho Vehodar Cholim Aktikto. If you were to take the tefillin and then and stretch them, that's misli bei b'shachetz, hold them and attempt to stretch them. And after you stretch them, it would snap back into place. Then it would be, that's called atikta. The idach, if not, if you stretch it and it remains stretched, that's chatzah. That's called new. The inami, another approach to this, is called hechi dechi misli bei b'misna asyo abasrei. Chatsa. Rashi at the top explains, Inami kolheshi de misli b'misna. Kishe oichis odem b'ritzua hatluyo b'hen. If you hold the straps that the tefillin are attached to, the osu tefillin abasrei, and by pulling on the straps, the boxes come together with it, the einon niskim, and don't snap apart, chatsa, that's called nu. V'idach sheniskin, if when you pull on the ritzua, the box, let's say, snaps apart from it, that's called atika. And that's what the Gemara says on the second line from the top, v'idach, and the other circumstance, namely, if when pulling on the straps, the boxes don't follow it, they snap off, that's atikta. The note on the outside margin, the nose mivne note, explains, ritzuos tefillin shenikru, if you have tefillin straps that tore, that came apart, in other words, they ripped, and so that you now have two pieces of straps, one that remains attached to the tefillin and the other that just tore off. The Gemara will have with a marking, a double underline with dots in it, mahu lemiktere or lemitpere. What is the din, what is the halacha regarding tying the ripped piece of strap back together with the rest of the ritzua? Can you tie it back on, knot it back together? And the other question will be, can you sew it back on? So the Gemara, second line from the top, Abaye have a Yosef Kameda of Yosef. Abaye was seated in the presence of Rav Yosef. Ifsik le Ritzua de Tfili. And his Ritzua, his tefillin strap, snapped off. Omar le Mahul de Miktere. So he asked, can I tie it back together? Omar le, so he answered, Ukshar Tom Ksiv. Shek Tehe Kshira Toma. The Kshira Toma, Rashi, in explaining this, has two explanations. The second Pirush that he offers is Ritsua Shlema Velo Kshira. Kshira Toma means that the Ritsua shall be complete and not a Ritsua that's made of two sections that are knotted together. The Gemara continues, Omar le Rav Acha Breder of Yosef and Rav Ashi. This question apparently is coming on the heels of, okay, once we've ruled that you can't tie the strap back together, Mahu le Mitpare v'aile le Tfira legav. Can you sew the strap back together in such a way that the seam that results from your sewing it back will be on the legav, meaning on the inside? In other words, when you look at the strap as an onlooker, it would appear to be a single solid single strap because the seam would be invisible. The seam being invisible, meaning it would be toward the inside. Omar, so he answered, as far as your question is concerned, can you sew it back? Poke chazi ma ama dabar. Go see, dabar means nohag. Go see how the tzibor is nohag. The Tosfos offers two explanations as far as, well, once I see what the tzibor is nohag, what practical conclusion does he mean to convey? So Tosfos at the top quotes Rashi that says, well, when looking at the public, you should come to the conclusion that don't do it. Apparently, according to Rashi, people are not nohag to sew it together. Rabbeinu Tam offers the opposite explanation. He says that apparently the public does sew it together. Omar Rav Papa, Gardume Ritsuos Ksheros. Rashi, across from here, a few lines up, says Gardume Ritsuos, Mashitoile Minoritsuos Laachar She Niskashu Baroish Im Nifsak Meoison Shirayan Vinishtairu Gardumin Ksherin. Rashi explains that the Tfilin Shorosh are attached to one's head with, of course, a strap. The strap that goes around one's head, and there is a knot, the kesher shofilin, which is placed to the back of one's head. And below that knot, the straps extend further. What is being referred to in this Gemara is if the part of the strap that extends below the knot got ripped off, and there remained little stumps of, like little remnants of strap, that's okay. That's Rav Papa's teaching, that if the part of the strap below the knot, we'll call it the long part of the straps that extends below the knot, got ripped off, and some little bit remains, that's Nishtairu Gardumin, it's okay. At this point, though, the Gemara rejects that teaching, and you can see a long marking, about four lines, a rejection. And that's indicated by the Dalet to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text that's encircled with a vertical dashed line. The Lav Milsahi, Rav Papa's teaching, is not to be relied upon. Mida Amri B'nei Rabbi Chia, from the fact that the sons of Rabbi Chia taught two points, Gardume Treles, the Gardume Ezov Ksherin. There are two cases of remnant things that are kosher, and that's the case of Trelis is Tzitzis. Tzitzis, as most of you are quite familiar with, are strings that are knotted to the corners of one's four-cornered garment. And after the knots, there are free, the strings are left unknotted, free-flowing strings, so to speak, beyond the knots. If those strings that are free-flowing got cut off so that you have very little left beyond the knots, so that little bit that's left beyond the knot, even if it's a small amount, that's called gardumei tchelis, the remnants of the tzitzis. That's okay. In other words, if when you made the tzitzis, you made tzitzis in a kosher fashion, and in the course of time they got ripped, leaving little stubbles, that's okay. And gardumei ezov, the ezov was used in the tahara procedure for different matters in the Torah. For example, in the taras hamitzora, there's the use of the eitz eres and the ezov, and in taras tumas meis, there's the use of an ezov. If the ezov is a plant that's used in this tahara process, if the ezov became cut off and you have little stubbles left, that's okay. And the Gemara points out, Hosam hu de tashmishei mitzvah ninhu. Those, in the case of tzitzis and the ezov, they are appurtenances of mitzvah performance. In other words, they don't have inherent sanctity to them. They are simply devices used to fulfill a mitzvah. Hence, they're called tashmishei mitzvah. Therefore, we have an allowance for gardumin, for the stubbles. Aval hocha, when you're dealing with ritzuos, the straps of the tefillin, are part of something that has inherent sanctity. The tashmishei kedusha ninu, loy, they are literally in service of something that has inherent sanctity. The ritzuos, being that they are associated with something that is called Tashmishei Kedusha, we cannot be so lenient as to allow a stubble remnant. Now, the Gemara says, if that be the case, that stubble remnants are not good, it must be that there is a minimum shiur, a minimum amount that is required. And that leads us to the next piece of Gemara. And we've entitled this section Shiur Haritzuos, the dimension or length of the straps. So the Gemara says, Michlal de'is lehu shiura. We can infer then from the B'nai Rabbi Chiya that there is a minimum amount. V'kama shirayu. So what is the length? What's the minimum length of the ritsua? And the Tosis points out that we're most likely talking about the ritsuos of the tefillin shel roish. V'kama shirayu. So what is the dimension? Omar Romi Barchama, Omar Reish Lakish, Ad Etzba Tzreda. This comment will be interpreted very shortly by Rav Kahana and Rav Ashi. Those names are underlined with an Aleph and Beis above them. But in the meantime, Reish Lakish says the size is Ad Etzba Tzreda. The word Etzba Tzreda, that expression is a reference to the finger next to one's thumb. That's the Etzba Tzreda. So what does that mean? So Rav Kahana machvi kofuf. Rav Kahana demonstrated that the shiur of etzba tsreda is the amount between one's etzba, that second finger, and one's middle finger. So if one stretches apart his second and third fingers, second when counting from the thumb, when one stretches apart his second and third fingers, the distance from the tip of the stretched second tips, the distance from the tips of the second and third fingers, that distance is the minimum length of the strap. Rav Ashi machvi poshud. This dimension is by measuring the distance from one's thumb, tip of one's thumb, to the finger right next to the thumb. This is a greater length than Rav Kahana. In other words, the distance from one's thumb to one's first finger, the first finger next to the thumb, is a greater distance than from the second finger to the third finger. Continuing in the Gemara, we have a nosei, another topic heading for this section. Drochim shoinim be'ech loivshim horetzuos. Different approaches to how one wore the straps of the tefillin. And we will see one approach is me'achora, that they simply, the straps drape down one's back. Another style we'll see is he braided the straps. And the third approach is straps like we wear them, is they drape down in front of us. And we, as we go on in the Gemara, we have some names underlined, and here we are using numbers 1, 2, and 3 to contrast this with the lettering that we used before, because this is a new topic. Rabba kotar lehu, that means Rabba would put on his tefillin shel roish, uposhet vishadi lehu, and he would cast the straps over his back, namely they drape down his back. Rav Acha bar Yankov kotar lehu, umatlis lehu. Rav Acha would, kotar lehu literally means would tie his tefillin, but that's kosher, but that means he placed them on his head, and matlis lehu, and he braided the straps. Marbre doravna ovid kididon. He does like we do. And this idea of like we do is they came down in front of us, and this you can see clearly in the Tosfos. Continuing in the Gemara. Omar Rav Yehuda braid Rav Shmuel bar Shilas Mishmei Derav. And this, you can see, once again, is another Halacha L'Moshe Misinai reference. Kesher Shel Tefillin Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. The need for a knot on the tefillin, and the form, the way we knot our tefillin, this is a Halacha L'Moshe Misinai. Omar Rav Nachman, v'noyehem lebar. The bar means facing the outside. As far as what noyehem is, Rashi has two pshatim on this. The Rashi had explained before this, when dealing with kesher shel tefillin, he explained this is a reference to the shape the knots take on the tefillin. The shape involves, in addition to the shin, which is not part of the knotting, but the shin, which is a form that appears on the box itself of the tefillin shirosh, there's a dalid that's that is part of the knot of the tefillin shirosh. The knot that is placed in the back of one's head has a dalid shape to it. There are different customs as far as how to make that knot, but for our purposes, we'll refer to that as a dalet shape. And on the tefillin shel yad, the knot that's inserted into the box of the tefillin, that little knot, that knot has a yud form associated with it. So those knots, the dalet and the yud, are halacha l'moshe misinai. Now, noyeim labar, which is what we're trying to explain right now, means that the letter shape should be facing outside. Because if you look at these knots, especially with the tefillin shel roish, only if the knot is facing the, if the dalet is facing the outside, the inside has a more of a simply knotty look to it. So Noyeim Labar, Rashi says, Hashem Yeinira Bachutz. We should have pointed out before that if you take the shin from the tefillin shirosh plus the dalet and yud, you have a name of the Almighty. That shin and dalet and yud is the name of the Almighty. So Noyeim Labar means, Noyeim Noy generally means the beauty. In this case, the name, the letters that form the name, should be facing the outside. There's another pshat that Rashi gives, and that means that the smooth part, which we associate with the black part, is to be facing the outside. Continuing in the Gemara, Rav Ashi have Yosef kamei de Mar Zutra. Rav Ashi was seated in the presence of Mar Zutra, Isafcha le Ritzua the tefillin, and his tefillin became the strap flipped around. So he asked him, Lo sovar lo mor v'noyeim labar, do you not hold that the noy must be facing the outside? Now, So Amalei, oh, lav adatoi, I didn't pay attention. It got flipped around, b'shogeg. And so thank you for informing me. V'ro'u kol amei horetz ki shem Hashem nikro olecha v'yor'u mimecha. V'yor'u mimecha. This is a pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, Perek Chav Ches Pasuk Yud, which says that the nations of the world will see you and be fear and see that the name of the Almighty is upon you and fear you. Tanya, Rabbi Elazar go to Omer, Elu Tfilin Sheberosh. This Tanaic source explains that the pasuk, when it says and the name of Hashem is upon you, that's a reference to the Tfilin Shel Rosh. In fact, the Tfilin Shel Rosh, according to Rashi's pshat, have Rov Shem Hashem. The Tfilin Shel Rosh have the shin that's embossed on the box itself, and the dalet that is the knot that's in the back of the Tfilin Shel Rosh. So that rove of the Shem Hashem, according to Rashi's pshat, is on one's head, and hence the pasuk when it says the nations of the world will see that the name of the Almighty is upon you, that's a reference to the Tfilin Shel Rosh. The Tosfos has an alternative pshat, namely that the Tfilin Shel Rosh, as opposed to the Tfilin Shel Yad is something that is worn on one's arm and is covered, and it serves as a sign for the person himself. That's V'hoyu le'ois al yodecha, and that's interpreted as l'cholios, a personal sign. The Tfilin Shel Rosh, though, are exposed, and that's something that others can see, the public can see them, and hence that's why the Pasuk says they will see that the name of the Almighty is upon you. It's in reference to the Tfilin Shel Rosh, which are visible to the public. The Pasuk in Shmos, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Chav Gimel says, Vasiroisi es kapi v'ro isa es achoroi. This is a story featured in the in Parshas Kisisa, where Moshe Rabbeinu is in a cave on a mountain, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu's divine presence is passing by. Omar Rav Chona Bar Bizna Omar Bshim Chasido Melameid. This pasuk teaches us Shehero Loi Hakodesh Baruch Hu LeMoshe. The Almighty revealed to Moshe Kesher Shel Tefillin, the knot of his tefillin. The Gemara in Bracha says that the Almighty, just like Klal Yisrael wears tefillin, the Almighty wears tefillin. Of course, these ideas are very lofty, and for our purposes, they are a bit abstract and somewhat obscure. But we are, in the context of our shiur, simply in a translation mode, and therefore we are going to say that the Kodesh Baruch Hu revealed to Moshe Rabbeinu the knot of his tefillin shel rosh. Omar Rav Yehuda, kesher shel tefillin, tzorech shehe lamalo. There are two comments made in the Gemara regarding the location of the kesher shel tefillin, and its segula, its merits, its special effects or powers. So Rav Yehuda says that kesher shel tefillin point aleph tzorech shehe lemala. They should be up on a high on the head. Kedei shi'u Yisrael lemala v'lo lematas, to symbolize the Jewish people being above and not being downtrodden and below. The idea of lamala, Rashi explains, they're supposed to be on the skull, basically, and not on one's neck. Another point, v'tzorch shie klape pnim, the knot, the kesher shel tefillin, shall be not off to the sides of the head. They should be rather opposite one's higher, on the skull, in a position facing, like opposite one's face, not off to the sides. There's a second pshat that Rashi gives on klapei pnim, is that the knot of the kesher of the tefillin shall be, the knotty part should be on the inside, and the shiny part, which is black, or where the letter of the letter dalet is plainly visible, should be facing the outside. So that's when it says here in the Gemara, "Vitzor Sheik Klapi Pnim," according to the second shot of Rashi, that the not part, the naughty part, the non-letter part should be facing inside, facing meaning touching the person's head, and the letter part, or the part that's most clearly clearly resembles the letter, is facing the outside. And this is also Kedei Shiu Yisrael Lifnim Velo Lachor. And this as a similar to what we said a moment before, Yisrael should be above and not below, so too here they should be in front and not in back. Omar Rav Shmuel Bar Bidri, Omar Rav, there is a few lines of names over here. V'yamri, another version is Omar Rav Acha Richa, Omar Rav Huno, V'yamri Lo, another version is Omar Rav Menashe, Omar Shmuel. Tefillin Me'em Osai Mevorech Alehen. This is dealing with the timing of the bracha that one makes upon wearing the tefillin. At what point does one make the bracha? Answer, Mish'as Hanachoson. The impression given by this expression of Mish'as Hanachoson is mashma, sounds like after he put his tefillin on, he then makes the bracha. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? After he put them on, that's when you make the bracha? Eini, is that so? V'amar Rav Yudah Amar Shmuel Kol HaMitzvahs Kulan Mevorech Aleihem Uver Lasiyosan. All mitzvahs that involve the performance, an act of performance, those are to be blessed upon before the act of performance. And therefore, if tefillin, if the act of performance is to put on the tefillin, so the bracha should be made prior to one's putting the tefillin on. Omar, so Abayi v'Ravo, the Amri Chavayu, they explain, Mish'as Hanocha V'ad Shas Kshira. Without getting into by way of elaborate explanation here and alternative pshatim, you can look in the Tosfos for further elucidation. We will use as the explanation for this what's commonly practiced, and that is the tefillin are essentially put on one's body, but before they're fastened in place, that what we call here the Shas Kshira, the point at which they're fastened into place, that is the point at which the bracha is made. So when it says here Mishas Hanocha, it's from the moment after one places the tefillin on one's body until he fastens it, that's the time to make the bracha. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.